Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today is Pentecost. When we reflect on how the Spirit has been given to the church to inspire, and to each individual within it. And so I was thinking to myself, what does an inspired person look like? What would the characteristics be? Would you know him or her if you met them? So I was thinking about that, and I would imagine there are some characteristics that pop up right away. I would imagine that a person who is inspired by God's Spirit has passion. That they can see somehow into the future of God's preferred vision for their life. That they would look for opportunities that maybe others wouldn't be able to see. Maybe in the same way that George Bernard Shaw said and was quoted by Robert Kennedy, "There are those who look at the way things are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not." I would imagine an inspired person is a person of gratitude and generosity toward God and others. That they ask themselves, well, what can I do? How can I help? What do you need? I would imagine an inspired person is positive, more optimistic. The glass is half full rather than half empty. And that they would be an encourager of other people to join them in that journey of life. I would imagine they would be a learner, a listener, always seeking how they can grow. What can they learn? How can things be different? And I would imagine they would be people of faith. That they would have the trust in God. That God is the one who is ultimately in charge of their life. And in many ways, like Jesus, live that quote, "Your will be done, Lord, not mine." When I think of our biblical witness for today, certainly the Apostle Peter, the disciple Peter, is one of those Spirit-filled individuals, an inspired individual. On the first Pentecost, the disciples were waiting in the upper room, that same room where they celebrated the Last Supper with their Lord. And now, a number of days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, they're waiting. Maybe they're still a little fearful that they might be rounded up like some of the other disciples. Or perhaps they're just wondering when they're going to receive this promised advocate that Jesus spoke about. But before you know it, a mighty wind came. And St. Luke, when he writes it in Acts, says it was as if tongues of fire fell on the disciples, and they were filled with new abilities. They were able to speak in languages that previously they did not understand or know. They went out into the streets proclaiming the mighty acts of God, the stories of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Previously, they couldn't do that. What was impossible for them to be able to speak in other languages now becomes possible. And the crowd gathers and wonders what is going on. And some sneer at these disciples, proclaiming the message of Jesus. I wonder if they were some of the same crowd that sneered and jeered Jesus on his way to his crucifixion. Some of us know what it's like to be sneered at, You might have experienced negativity in your life. You might have heard people say to you, "You'll never amount to anything. You can't do it. Who do you think you are?" Brothers and sisters, there's so much in the church in America today that is negative. People lacking energy or power or excitement. Churches lacking life. Our bishop, who preached a number of weeks ago, shared with us a statistic that many congregations in our area had experienced a 30% decline in attendance over the last 10 years. And for those of us that were in this area in the 1990s, you might remember the collapse of so many of the biggest and strongest congregations that we had in the city of Harrisburg. Within 10 years, so many were closed or diminished in size. Sometimes we want to cower in fear about all of the changes in our world or in our church. Sometimes we want to get angry about what seems out of control. But anger and fear is not the answer. Today is Pentecost. Today we celebrate the Spirit, the promised Spirit, which has come to inspire us. And with that inspiration is the promise of life in all of its abundance. And you know what the opposite of inspiration is, don't you? Expiration. We expire. We die. And there's no in-between between life or death. It's either life in the Spirit or death. But we are promised God's Holy Spirit, which promises us life. And now is the time to experience such life. And we have the confidence that God's Spirit lives in you through holy baptism. So what would an inspired church look like? I imagine it would be the same as with some individuals. An inspired church would be passionate. It would understand its mission and ministry and holy purpose. It would live out this holy vision that God had placed on the hearts of its members. An inspired church would be thankful and giving for all that God had done. It would see God as one of abundance and not a world of scarcity. It would encourage the use of spiritual gifts so that all the people of God working together could see that we could do so much more. An inspired church would form disciples, listening to God through word, through baptismal promise, and as we gather around the meal of life. And such an inspired church would have faith that God will provide us with whatever we need. Today is Pentecost. Be fearless. Go out. Believe that we can accomplish what God has placed on our hearts. Be open to the Spirit and the inspiration that it provides. And when we do that, it will be contagious. It will light the light of faith and move the church forward and out into the world, sharing the love of God made so real. So real through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We should never underestimate the power of God's Spirit. Poet William Blake wrote about Pentecost, "Unless the eye catch fire, God will not be seen. Unless the ear catch fire, God will not be heard. Unless the tongue catch fire, God will not be named. Unless the heart catch fire, God will not be loved. Unless the mind catch fire, God will not be known." Today is Pentecost, when God sends forth the Spirit. Amazing things happen. Sins are forgiven and barriers are broken. Communities are formed and adversaries can become partners. Unity is established. Addiction is broken. People are renewed and hope is established. And a future is given. And the church happens. This church happens, united and empowered for God's holy purposes. God has a plan for you and for me, and it is a future with hope. It begins with trusting in the Holy Spirit, that holy fire which breaks down and at the same time strengthens, that wind of God that moves and shakes us to our very core, that breath of God that gives life and inspiration to God's one holy church. Today we are invited to be open to receive. An open heart, an open mind, and open arms. Be inspired. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.